Jesus Christ is truly the King of all, and we are so thankful that we have heard his call into our hearts and our lives and our faith, that we can respond back with great songs handed down throughout the church, such as "Crown Him with Many Crowns, for we have no crown, he has them all. Even if we are given a crown, we lay it at his feet, because he is the God of all." As we continue walking through our Acts text, we're going to be looking at that ascension text and bringing together that whole chapter of Acts a little bit even beyond the ascension to bring some things in there, because I want us to understand this concept of Jesus' death and ascension. We always usually connect it to Easter, but the death of Jesus is also taken into ascension. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But one of the first things the early church had to do right after the ascension of Jesus is they needed to get their house in order. You know, things were kind of like, how does this all work? What do we do? Where do we go? It just was kind of a disaster. What happens? And Jesus kind of said, well, wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Wait to Pentecost and then go. But for now, hang in there. And one of the first things they had to do was deal with Judas's death. Now, the death of Judas is very important. You see that in Acts chapter 10. It explains his death one more time in the gruesome way of him just kind of all falling apart onto the ground and his blood and a disaster. Because that death of Judas is what's not going to happen to us like that. The death of Judas is what death is like apart from Jesus. We have life in Jesus. So Judas, not unlike all of the children of Israel that have fallen short and are waiting for the Messiah, whatever is disconnected from God's Son in Jesus will have death eternally, right? But they also had to deal with life. They had to figure out who's going to be that 12th disciple. Let's get this figured out. Let's keep this ball going. And so they figure out with Matthias who's going to continue on. And of course, Matthias raises his hand and says, send me, I will go. I have been empowered. I am a believer. I am a witness. Let me. How can I serve? Is his battle cry. And of course, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is that whole concept of what's going to happen to the church when it explodes with great joy, with the Spirit upon us, that who can stop the ministry? And the Holy Spirit filling us all up. And we'll talk more about that next week when we change all the pyramids from white to red and we celebrate the Holy Spirit poured onto the church. Now, who can possibly stop us from being the excitement, the joy, the message of Jesus? Because we get this in Acts chapter 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's that promise. And so then they're going to get sent out. He says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We've got that. We know that. We have that memorized. And then as they were looking up, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. But there were two men there wearing white. Of course, we know them as angels. I would like to think, but I don't know for sure, that these were the two same angels that were at the grave on Easter morning. Because they're there and they said, hey, why are you looking for Jesus amongst the dead? Because he's living. You don't need to look at him. And now suddenly these same two guys, excuse me, why are you staring off up into the sky? He has risen and he's going to come back just as he came. And he's sending them into what they need to do next. It's really kind of fun and amazing when you watch the concept of these angels throughout, especially the New Testament, where you see at the Annunciation of Jesus in the womb, the angels come in and tell Mary, you're with child. Here's how this is all going to go down. And then suddenly the child comes and is born in Bethlehem, and the skies are filled with angels. And it's just an amazing event as well. And then on Easter morning, there's the angels. The stone is moved. He is risen. Don't look for him here. We've got things to do. And that the ascension of Jesus, there they are again. The glory of Jesus rising into heaven. Or do you not see the angels? Of course, you will not see them on Good Friday because they are held back at the death. Or do you not see the angels? the death of Judas and all those who've died outside of the faith in Jesus. Last night during supper, we're kind of at our little counter there eating away, and I made the comment, wouldn't it be grand when Jesus returns? And then, of course, we all agree, there's one lone voice in our room that morning or that yesterday evening that said, but how sad for those who do not know Jesus. Of course, the spokesperson for the unsaved is Jesus in us. The ascension of Jesus gets us very excited that the death of Jesus now turns into life, and he promises that he is going to be present with us in the church. He's present with us in the word that we read and cling to and we keep into our devotions in our daily lives. He's present in our baptism that we had one last week and we celebrated daily in our lives that we are baptized into Christ Jesus. He is with us in his very body and blood, what we'll have in just a bit here in the very corporate body of Christ as well. The presence of Jesus is here because of ascension. We may think, well, Jesus goes into heaven and he separates himself from us. No. He's with us in all these ways. He promises to be with us. And a big teaching that we don't really talk about too much is that wherever you have the Holy Spirit, because of the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, there you have Jesus and God the Father. You cannot separate that out. So wherever you have the Holy Spirit working, there you have the presence of Jesus. It is such a deep, deep, wonderful teaching that Jesus is always present with us. That's the reminder of the ascension. Though he raises up and goes into heaven, he is with us in many and various ways and tells his church, fear not, I am with you to the very end of the age. And even better news is that as Christ ascends, there he is governing. The world is his footstool. He is over all things. And we see that symbolism of the crown. He is risen from the dead. The cross is vanquished. And now he has the crown of everlasting life upon it. I like this symbol of the crown as well because it connects us to that one death and that one ascension. Jesus, who was mocked to his death, overcame death. We who should be mocked at our death, Jesus overcame our death. Death cannot mock us. Death cannot steal our dignity. We are in Jesus, the King of all. Death will have no sting. Death will have no victory. Death cannot overcome us as it did Judas and so many others. We stand in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The next thing that the ascension of the Lord does, along with the presence of Christ and being under his governing power, is the calling us into mission. We know this and have it memorized, and it's part of all of who we are. It's not something that you debate. It's not something you think about. It's just our identity. We are in God's mission. We raise our hand and say, how do we serve? We spend less time trying to tell someone else how they should do it and more time ourselves and actually doing it. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And as doing my research, I came across this quote that every heart without Christ is a mission field. We know that. Every heart with Christ is a missionary by vocation. It's our identity. It's who we are. And when I look at the author, that in the very small words, you probably can't even see who it is from your statement. It says, David Kim. I go, David Kim? He's a pastor in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. He knows like four different languages. He's been in charge of mission works and mission fields throughout Texas and our synod for a long, long time. He's got more initials in front and behind his name than I'll ever even dream about. He's just an amazing man from South Korea, taking care of the Lord and helping and equipping people to realize their vocation because of the ascension of Jesus. We fear not death. We do not let to have that take up our time and our energy worrying about that. We are in the ascension of Jesus Christ, and we are his people by vocation. But another thing that the ascension does for us, it puts us in mind that Jesus really is coming back. Once that gospel and mission field is all proclaimed out, He's got that promise. What are you looking at? What are you staring at? He's no longer here. He is going to return just as he has come with a trumpet. And I was pondering that and thinking about that on Friday and thinking about what is this vision of the angel with the trumpet and where have I seen that before? And I thought about that and then I remembered and I found this picture. It's a picture of Trinity Lutheran Church in Merrill, Wisconsin, my home church where I grew up. This picture is in 1910, so 55 years before I was even born. And way in the back, you can see the organ on there, of course. I didn't want to cut that out because the organ's quite impressive. But in the back, over the organ, you're going to see these wings with an angel. And that's that angel flying and going over, letting all the world know Jesus is coming. And it is flanked by the organ, letting us know that the trumpet sounds here on earth. We await Christ's coming. And every time we sing to the glory of his name, we're proclaiming that he is the Lord and he shall return. Then I came across the same stained glass window in 2010. Same balcony, organ moved a little bit to the left, but you can still see the angels. And I believe there's two of them. When I got a closer look, I could barely remember that window that said, the angels are coming, and when you see them, is your house in order for Jesus is coming? We tend to worry about a lot of stuff in this world, but remember the main mission that we really have can be summed up in one word. Here's a new word for you. Post. There you go. Or you can change it around. You can say stop or pots or tops or however you want to do it. You can change the letters any way you want because that P is going to stand for praise. God calls upon his church to give him praise. That's why we have organs. That's why we have musicians. That's why people are so dedicated to music, to praise his name, because he has triumphed over death. He has conquered sin. The evil dominions of the world, such as Satan and all his dominions, are ousted forever. And so that church always holds that spot of praise God, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And the church will never stop to praise him. In fact, if we've got to stop everything and make a makeshift altar and gather around wherever two or three are gathered, so shall it be, because God's name shall be praised here on earth as it is in heaven. And much time and energy is taken by the church to do that. But then there's the O. And you may remember it from your catechism days, that we are to serve and obey him. Because of his great fatherly divine goodness and mercy, it is our privilege to have this obedience flow out. Not of let's vote on it, not let's think about it, not well, what do you think? No, obedience. Before we even know the question, the church stands up in praise and obedience. Yes, Lord. It's what we do. We do what you call us to do because you're present with us. You govern over all things. What is this mission you have for the church? And we respond in obedience to his word and to his message, to his love and to his care. The church, and I know the word obedience is kind of weird in our culture today, but big deal. God is bigger than our culture trying to form a word obedience. We are obedient even unto death to remain faithful to him. It's right there in our confirmation vows. Obedient unto death. Not to give up on God in praise and obedience. And then, of course, the S is that service. It is our responsibility to serve, praise, and obey him. That service. That we will constantly take care of what needs to be happening. We're the ones that raise up our hand and say, how can I serve? How does this work for me? How does this flow out of me? What does it mean? How can I be an impact in the life of other people through service in God's holy name? Not just service to make people happy or to make ourselves feel good. That's what the world does. This is service because Jesus is ascended. Because Jesus is risen. My sins are forgiven. Lord, let me praise your holy name. No matter what it is, I shall obey and in service to you and to one another because of who you are. That's what we call gospel motivation. Because of the message of whom God is, we are motivated. That's that inspiration. Inspiration comes in many and various ways on this face of the earth, from how you get paid to more vacation time to whatever it is. But in the church, it's always the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ is risen for me. What can bring me down? Christ has ascended to heaven and is victorious over all sin, death, and damnation. I am in the victory of Jesus Christ, and therefore I stand in the letter T with thanksgiving to give him my prayers, praise, and thanksgiving. Always being thankful. To be thankful for our blessings, to be thankful for all good things. But Lord, how is it that I can be thankful when my joints are hurting, when I receive the bad news, when a loved one is taken from me before it should have been? How am I thankful in those situations? Only one way, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is ascended for you in every possible circumstance in life, we are thankful. It drives people crazy that don't get the gospel. That the church, in the midst of tough and hard times, remains joyful and filled with thanks and praise and service and obedience because of the ascension. You better do this or you're bad Christians. Well, that's not going to get you too far. We praise, serve, obey, and are thankful because Jesus is ascended. And soon we shall be too, joining with all those that have gone before us, taken right up into that presence of heaven. And this is the joy of the salvation of the church, that he is risen for us and he garners us up into heaven at his perfect timing. Oh, the one death of Jesus, that one ascension of God the Father's Son for us. Death, no victory, no sting. Oh, it may separate us from a time and bring our hearts empty and sad, and tears are there. That's all part of that. But we are not down and out. Because someday soon, when our mission is done, Jesus will gather us and take us into a sweet spot of everlasting life, a mansion prepared for us, where we shall be able to see the eyes and the hands and the hearts of all those that have gone before us. And two of those hands will have the marks of death that only he could overcome, so that we don't have to have any marks of death. This is the Savior of the ascension. Jesus is risen for you. Amen.